says to me, Joe Hill never died. Well, workers stand up for their rights. Joe Hill is by their side. From Florida to the Puget Sound, in country and in town, where workers strike and organize, Joe Hill is to be found. I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you and me, says I, but Joe, your sentry dead, I never die, says he.
Hi, folks. We only have a few seconds for thank yous. The music you just heard was by our ace engineer and interviewer, Joe Clement, also a magician, singing Joe Hill by Hayes and Robinson. Thanks to Jim Cook, Mark Ross, Ann Feeney, and the Portland Wobs. Also to Franklin Rosemont, who wrote the wonderful book, The IWW, The Making of a Revolutionary Working Class Counterculture. You can get it free from KABU by becoming a member of our great station. Just call right now, 503-231-8032. We have run out of time. We're archived, and you can get this show or listen to it on the KABU website. And I guess that's all. This was Bill Resnick for the Old Mole. Our ace engineer was Joe Clement. Thanks.
And it is 10:01 on KBOO Portland, and Chris Andre is standing by for Air Cascadia, so keep your dial right here. And today that's followed at 10:15. We're going to hear Locus Focus with host Barbara Bernstein. She talks with Canadian journalist Andrew Nikiforuk about his new book, Slick Water, which deals with fracking. And at 11 on Health and Healthcare Forum, host Roberta Hall presents the interviews and excerpts from talks at the recent Oregon Public Health Association meeting. And we, of course, want to thank you members for your support. If you're not a current member, please go to kboo.fm/give to find out about our current program that allows your donation to be matched.
KABU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of La Peña Flamenca de Portland, Saturday, November 21st at 8 p.m. at the Headwaters Theater in Portland. This month, the band will be El Cuadro Pepe y Rafael y Lily Last with cantores Elisa Rocha y Christy Jenny. Again, that's La Peña Flamenca de Portland, Saturday, November 21st at 8 p.m. at the Headwaters Theater, located at 55 Northeast Farragut Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Monday, November 16th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today, of course, we are all a bit shattered from a weekend of nonstop news coverage of the attacks in Paris and across the world, indeed. I, without detracting or see from the terror and sorrow of people around the world, I do feel compelled to note that 129 people killed is just another day in Gaza. It's just another day for the Palestinian people, and it somewhat gulls me to observe the world brought to its knees and in tears because, my God, white people got killed. You know, And that in and of itself is so what we should take away, I believe, from this event, is this is what it takes to stir the emotions of people around the world, mainly white people, of course, but everybody else is accustomed to brutality on a daily basis. So that said, perhaps if there's anything good that could be taken away from these terrible events, perhaps it will humanize us and open our eyes to the suffering of people of different color skin around the world and what they must go through all the time. This is a way of life for many people. This is something that's not out of the ordinary. It's something that is this terror visited upon civilian populations from the sky at any time, day or night. That said, we also, of course, have Obama is saying that he now does not rule out U.S. troops on the ground fighting ISIS. The president, of course, is in Turkey right now for the G20 Leaders Summit. And he will provide him with an ideal, albeit accidental, platform from which to state again the U.S. response. He has said he's not ruled this out, but it's pretty clear that this would be the absolute last thing that in the world that President Obama would want to do. This is an inevitable conclusion that no matter what the U.S. tries to do in the region, almost inevitably comes to grief. We simply don't know what they're doing. The State Department needs to go back to school, and perhaps maybe not an American school, but some school somewhere, and learn something about the region. It would be highly advisable at this point, or barring that, at least learn to do a better job of listening to what people have been telling us these many decades past. And that, of course, being that these tactics, this strategy, never has worked, never will. If anyone who decides to march off to war with ISIS is going to have a bit of a tough road to hoe, because where is ISIS exactly? Where are the borders? Where does it begin? Where does it end? Small children, little children in school are being taught the credo of this terrifying, violent, idiotic mass of people. They're taught that it's wonderful to torture. When you're desensitized to torture when you're 6, 7, 8 years old. But I mean, this is what little boys do all the time when they're 6 and 8 years old. I love to torture creatures that have been unfortunate enough to fall into their grasp. So why not, people? It simply makes sense. And being praised for that sort of behavior from adults that they respect, that they love, why, that makes it even better, doesn't it? We are standing by while generations are being raised who have absolutely no ability to come to terms with their actions right now, which are going to shape our future. We are waiting right at the moment to get our guest on the line. Paul Gottinger is an independent journalist. He recently wrote an analysis of the war on terror. He writes, 14 years of this U.S. war on terror. Terror attacks have skyrocketed since 9/11. Terror attacks have jumped. Get this. You ready for it? Terror attacks have increased by 6,500% since 2002. That's what the billions, trillions of dollars poured into a misguided, naive war on terror. That's what we bought since 2002. It is incredible that people in positions of power who control these vast, vast sums of money and incredible military might could possibly get it so complete. It would have been much better if they'd done nothing and just left it. If attacks are increasing by 6,500%, we shouldn't have done anything. We'd be ahead billions and trillions of dollars, and we wouldn't have pissed off the entire region. Other regions, too, for that matter. This one, right now, for example. The number of casualties resulting from terror attacks has increased by 4,500% over this time period. Alone, that's just casualty. The colossal upsurge in terror took place despite all of this effort worldwide, but indeed U.S. driven and largely U.S. financed. This analysis, which was put together with figures provided by the State Department, no less than the State Department, also shows that from 2007 to 2011, almost half of all the world's terror took place in Iraq or Afghanistan. Two countries being occupied by the U.S. at the time. Is that a coincidence, you think? Countries that experienced U.S. democracy at gunpoint continue to be subjected to high numbers of terror attacks. And it seems to be going on unabated. In 2014, 74% of all terror-related casualties occurred in where? Well, Iraq, Nigeria. Of course, Nigeria, it's got oil. And Afghanistan, it's got routes for oil. Pakistan, same thing, routes. Or Syria. Of these five, only Nigeria did not experience either U.S. airstrikes or military occupation that year. The U.S. invasion of Iraq destabilized Iraq and Syria, we know this, creating conditions for the emergence of ISIS, which now controls large parts of those two countries. See what I mean? It's not a country. That's the problem. They're fighting an idea. The invasion of Afghanistan has not been able to wrest large sections of the country from the Taliban. In fact, nobody's ever been able to wrest large sections of Afghanistan from Afghanistan. Nobody that's gone in there's ever come out in one piece, and Afghanistan persists. And the air war to oust Muammar Gaddafi left Libya in a state of chaos. And I might mention, too, Libya, many of these states were formerly, Syria to name just another, secular. We're still setting the stage here for our guest, Paul Gottinger, to speak with us, and he should be on momentarily. The instability caused by the wars, along with the atrocities perpetrated by U.S.-led forces, were, of course, turned around and exploited for terrorist recruitment. And those who are standing around conference rooms in Washington, D.C., scratching their head, wondering what went wrong, need not look no further than their very own conference rooms. It's all there. We caused it. And it's sooner that the U.S., the State Department, get over themselves and accept the fact we caused it. We need look no further. Then the limits of our own capital, see that, it's very obvious. Maybe, perhaps, if the U.S. had focused a little bit more intently on the rest of the world than on Wall Street, we might not find ourselves in this shape. If we haven't been so concerned with building up private wealth and privatizing every last natural resource we can get our hooks into, perhaps this country and other nations around the world would be in better shape today. Just suggesting it. Now, moving on, we've got a few headlines just to go crashing through. The California Governor Jerry Brown has extended now his executive order requiring residents, of course not agri-terrorists, but to conserve water as the state readies for going into a fifth year of drought. And again, it's very, very easy. Trying to figure out what to do about it is pretty much pointless. It's a done deal now, isn't it? But figuring out what to do to prevent drought from becoming a way of life is by cutting consumption. Too many people are using too much water. It's very, very simple. There's only certain carrying capacity, and we have far outreached that. So that said, Laura Haim is a French television network correspondent reported an interesting tidbit during a live report. Apparently, there had been conversations with the CIA and the French counterpart in the days running up to this event, these events in Paris. And meanwhile, the whole rest of the world was completely distracted. There was a 7.0 earthquake and tsunami that hit Japan. But of course, nobody was paying attention to that, were they? This has been Air Cascadia for Monday, November 16, 2015. And Kate Welch engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Kate. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of The Book of Mormon, a play running from Friday, November 27th through Saturday, December 19th, presented by Triangle Productions in Portland. The Book of Mormon is a new musical comedy where Mormon missionaries meet Ethel Merman. Again, that's The Book of Mormon, playing from December 19th.